It's good to have you here. And yesterday, I left you with a little assignment, some homework, as it were. Were you able to do it? I said that we'll be exploring 10 facts about Jesus Christ in verses 5 through 7 of Revelation 1, and I asked you to read ahead and see if you could find them. I'll draw them out of the text for you in a moment, but first let me read Revelation 1, verses 5 through 7. I hope that you'll give great attention to the Word of God with me. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. That was the first chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, verses 5 through 7, and here are the 10 facts that are true about Jesus found therein. Fact number 1, Jesus is the faithful witness. Fact number 2, Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. Fact number 3, Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Fact number 4, Jesus loves us. Fact number 5, Jesus released us from our sin by his blood. I'm giving you 10 facts that are true about Jesus Christ from Revelation 1, and here's the sixth. Fact number 6, Jesus made his followers to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. Fact number 7, to Jesus belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Fact number 8, Jesus is coming with the clouds. Fact number 9, every eye will see Jesus, even those who pierced him. And fact number 10, the tribes of the earth will mourn over Jesus. Did you have these? They are as clear as a cloudless sky if you simply do the reading. Revelation 1, verses 5 through 7. And now what we will do together is simply to go fact by fact so that I can tell you what all of these mean. And we will break these into three groups. The first group is facts 1 through 3. The second group is facts 4 through 7, and the last group is facts 8 through 10. You can outline this very simply in your Bible or on a piece of paper. Should you take notes on your device, phone, tablet, iPad, what have you, now's a great time to jot these down. And I'll put all of this on Facebook as well. Just go to Facebook and punch in God is, W-E-Z-E, that's God is, W-E-Z-E, and you will find these outlined there. We are taking these 10 facts and putting them into three groups. The first group is facts 1 through 3, the second group is facts 4 through 7, and the last group is facts 8 through 10. And I'll explain why I'm doing it this way as we move along, but let's drop right into the first group and the first fact. Jesus is the faithful witness. Revelation 1 verse 5 says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. What does it mean that Jesus is the faithful witness? The faithful witness of Christ means that, one, Jesus always tells us the truth about God, and two, because he has told us the truth about God, it cost him his life. I'll repeat that. The faithful witness of Christ means that, one, Jesus always tells us the truth about God, and two, because he told us the truth about God, it cost him his life. Listen to the Lord in John chapter 18 and verse 37 as he speaks to Pilate. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. This is Jesus' mission, to tell the truth about God. John 18, 37. If you want to know who God is, then read Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Learn from Jesus. He tells us exactly, precisely who God is. This is why in this ministry dedicated to understanding who God is, we constantly look to Jesus. Over in John's Gospel in the third chapter, John the Apostle, the author of the book, is describing for us why John the Baptist believes his ministry is subordinate to Christ's in verses 31 to 32. Here's what John the Baptist says. I'm reading the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 31 to 32. Jesus, who comes from heaven, is above all. What he has seen and heard, of that Jesus testifies. Jesus knows what is true about God because Jesus is God, and he comes from God, telling us everything we need to know about God the Father. We must understand this about Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness, and it is John the Apostle who receives this revelation from Jesus Christ via the angel here in Revelation 1. So what John writes about Jesus in John 3 is the same that he writes about Jesus in Revelation 1. The Bible is very consistent because truth is consistent. Second, Jesus tells us the truth about God, and it cost him his life. The Lord Jesus was killed because he told us who God is. There's a very interesting Greek word we need to know when we read Revelation 1, verse 5, and it is the word martus. The text reads, Jesus Christ, the faithful martus. And what English word does this sound like? Yes, martyr. In the Greek, the word is martus. And martyr means one who suffers the death for allegiance to a cause. And this is exactly what happened to Jesus. He was martyred, murdered for God. This is what being a faithful witness means to Jesus Christ. He faced the death penalty because he dared to declare the truth. Now remember the who when we talk about the revelation. Who originally received this? It was the Christians in the churches to whom John writes, and they were faced with severe persecution. Many of them will also be martyred for their faith in Christ and their bold proclamation of who he is. So Jesus, in his revelation, emphasizes that he was a faithful witness to encourage them to also stand firm in the face of harsh conditions for believers in this season of fierce aggression against Christ's people. Jesus is saying, I have served as an example for you. Prepare yourself to do as I did. Give up your life for me as I gave up my life for you. These words of Christ to the churches will prove to be very valuable to them, as you will see if you continue to read the book of the Revelation. Read, for example, what Jesus said to the church at Smyrna in chapter 2. Here's a little flavor of his words. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The Christians at Smyrna needed this affirmation from the Lord because at least some of them were to be martyred as Christ was martyred for being faithful witnesses. Now, on this point, many of us let out a sigh of relief. Ah, well, I am sure glad that we are not being persecuted like that around here for our faith. Ah, but are we being faithful witnesses of Jesus Christ? I am not suggesting that martyrdom awaits you wherever you may be listening to me, but just try being a faithful witness for God today in your neighborhood, company, school, and family. At a minimum, you and I are likely to face stiff resistance, to be shamed and rejected. But if we push it, we can be bullied, harassed, certainly portrayed as bigoted, too hateful and prideful. Who are you to tell someone else how to live? You might hear. It is never easy to be like Christ, to be a faithful witness. But are you willing? Christ commands that we witness for him. As a Christian, this is our great commission. How are you doing in this regard? We all have been given an opportunity by the Holy Spirit to tell somebody else who God is. If we've missed that recent opportunity, let's repent of that sin and then be on the lookout for another chance. I guarantee it comes your way. Be ready for it. And if you need any insight into how to witness for Jesus in the times in which we live, write to me today. I might have some ideas for you. Mark at markaswallow.com or God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts 01890. Jesus is the faithful witness. This is the first fact about Jesus found in these verses. And now we come to the second. Fact number two, Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. This is written in verse 5. And what does it mean that Jesus is the firstborn of the dead? Well, as the sovereignty of God would have it, this fact follows right on the heels of the one before it. Since fact number one declares that Jesus was killed for his witness, fact number two declares that Jesus rose from the dead. He did not stay dead, but rather sprang back to life. The firstborn of the dead speaks of resurrection. So too, those faithful witnesses for Christ, if martyred, will be brought back to life, as will all of us who love the Lord. Firstborn does not mean that Jesus was the first person on a timeline of world history to be resurrected from the dead. For example, Jesus himself brought his friend Lazarus back to life. But these words are saying Jesus is firstborn in the sense of Jesus being the greatest, the superior one to be resurrected. God the Father declares of Jesus in Psalm 89 and verse 27, "I also shall make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth." Of all the people who have been resurrected by the power of God and who will be resurrected in the future, Jesus is the greatest. And again, what assurance this gives to us. From his death to his resurrection, Jesus is always our model, our example, and our preeminent predecessor. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 echoes this. This is Colossians 1:18. Jesus is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. I'm convicted by that. Christ must have first place in everything in my life. One day I will die. My body will go down into the grave under the earth, but at the rapture of the church, Jesus will perfect my body and raise me to life. Same with you if you believe in him. He arose first, and we arise later. Actually, everyone will be resurrected, but we who are Christians are resurrected to an eternal life. We need to stop here, but when you come back tomorrow, we'll end the week together right here in Revelation 1 verse 5 with fact number 3. So join me again tomorrow, for God is...